Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, my husband, J.C. Hall.
Howdy.
Have y'all been missing him? They've been missing you, J.C.
Oh, really? Yeah. Did I miss something?
Yeah, you were...
I was out.
And then yesterday we didn't have a show because we were in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And we didn't get home until late. And Tallahassee is our state capital in Florida, and that's about a four-hour drive for us.
Yeah, I forgot Tuesday night. I'd have much rather been here, for sure. No doubt about it.
Maybe that's why you forgot Tuesday night, because you wanted to be here instead.
Blocked it out of my mind.
You blocked it out of your brain. Man. Well, we had a good time without you.
You know,
everybody notices I have a tendency to rant more when you're not here. So
yeah.
They like it when I rant.
You got to carry the whole load.
I know, right? Right? Leaving me to drive the submarine all by myself.
No, most of the time I feel like I bring the show down. I'm just
no. I'm just kinda, they miss you.
I try to stay out of
they
the way.
They totally miss you. Yeah.
But
yeah,
you so probably get more taught when I'm not here, for sure.
It's, and that's because all they have to do is sit there and listen to me talk right for an hour, so. So I have to make it real interesting, make it the teach show kind of thing.
Always said,
Because you're the one that brings the sort of humor side to it. I'm all, you know.
Yeah.
I don't laugh as much when you're not on the show.
Well, you know, I've always said you can learn, from anybody and everybody, right? You can learn what to do or what not to do, so, yeah. I feel like I fit in either way.
And the thing that gets missed more often when you're not here is our live stream chat on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I'm not able to pay attention to it all the time. You know, I've got to...
You guys, my wife is like...
Mission focused.
That's good. That's the word I
was
going to say.
I am mission focused.
Not tunnel vision, but mission focused.
No, I'll tell you. When I get on a roll, I'll tell you. I'm like this, man. It's all this. I don't even know there's a world around me.
She thinks she can multitask. But
oh, no. I do multitask. But when I'm on mission mode, that doesn't happen. Right? Doesn't happen. Right. Well, happy Religious Freedom Day.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I would rather it be called Religious Liberty Day, but it's called Religious Freedom Day. And it's called Religious Freedom Day. Oh, wrong button. It's called Religious Freedom Day because it's named after the ratifying of Jefferson's bill for establishing religious freedom. And the bill was actually ratified on January 16th, but it was submitted to Virginia Congress on 18 June 1779. What's interesting, JC, is I was
so whoever picked this date knows some history.
Yeah, so Virginia Resolution for Religious Freedom was ratified on January 16th, 1786 in Virginia. But I want you to notice something, JC. It was brought before Virginia in 1779, but not ratified until 1786.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think that our government moves too quickly. We live in this instantaneous need society, and the things that we don't need them to do, you know, you got to pass the bill so you can read the bill. We're in a hurry. And then the important stuff never gets done, right? So if it's politically advantageous, if somebody's going to get paid, if it controls our liberty, if it denies us our rights, it's going to get pushed through in a hurry. There's going to be the right boogeyman to push it through, or the right, you know, crisis or distraction that, you know. So it's very interesting to notice how long it took to get this bill actually ratified. And I thought that it's also interesting that they did this. I wonder how many people, JC, actually will go back and read Jefferson's bill.
I guess I will now.
It's really, really well. You've heard parts of it. It's mentioned pretty heavily in my religious liberty course.
Mm-hmm.
And so the history behind Jefferson's bill is that there was a legislative push to create a property tax to pay Christian teachers to teach the Christian religion. And Jefferson and Madison were both vehemently opposed to this piece of legislation. And so because they were opposed to collecting a property tax to pay Christian teachers to teach the Christian religion, then Jefferson wrote this bill to prevent it from being enforced in the state of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that Jefferson wrote that to compel a man to furnish contributions of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. And so basically his bottom line, you know, summarizing this section of the bill, was that, hey, look, if you collect tax dollars from everybody, but you're only paying Christian teachers, you're collecting tax dollars from people who are not Christians, who don't believe in the Christian religion, and you're forcing their money to pay for things they don't believe in. And he said that's sinful and tyrannical. He actually goes pretty good and well into the whole biblical application of the governance of the church and why government shouldn't be paying our church leaders and how that's contrary to God's setup of the governance of the church. And then he talks about tyrannical, you know, the Jefferson was a no tax guy, right? He Jefferson would have been classified as a tax protester. I mean, he wrote a whole essay to Lord Dunmore telling him we don't have to pay your taxes because we have the power of the purse is a powerful tool. And if we give up that power of the purse to government, then we are finished. Right? Yeah,
that didn't have anything to do with his own mismanagement of his own finances.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I'm sure Jefferson, I know Jefferson had his own problems, but nonetheless, you know, he wasn't the only one that would have been a tax protester anyway. So, but anyway, I love this other line from his resolution because this really, or his piece of legislation, because it really, really goes toward the understanding of Jefferson's understanding of separation of church and state, right? Because he's the one that said to the Danbury Baptists in 1802, I hold with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislators shall not... the First Amendment thing, thus building a wall of separation of church and state, right? And so he says in this resolution that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. So we don't have religious tests, right? You're not supposed to elect someone to office based on their religion, and you're not supposed to not elect them to office based on their religion. Yeah. I mean, if we're totally honest, JC, I know people who call themselves Christian that I wouldn't let babysit my dog, much less, you know, run for, you know, hold office.
Right.
So that's not the criteria by which we are to judge people who and their qualifications for office. So anyway, I knew that if I put religious liberty in the title today, that we would be definitely dinged and limited and censored. So I thought that
even though it's Religious Freedom Day?
Even though it's Religious Freedom Day.
Now that's a new thing, right? I mean, is this from, did we not have a Religious Freedom Day? I thought it was, this is now something that's been inaugurated by President Trump through this executive order. I don't recall there ever being officially.
Every year since 1993.
Okay.
Every year since 1993, January 16th has been deemed National Religious Freedom Day.
Okay, so he just issued a proclamation, which is what they do on this day.
He issued a proclamation, but it was also a potential rule change.
Matt Shea's the bomb.
Matt Shea's the bomb. Hey, yeah, is
asking.
He here? Oh,
no,
Matt Shea.
What are your thoughts on Matt Shea?
What am I thought? Matt Shea is awesome. I love him. He's
Matt Shea's a dear friend. What about him?
Yeah. So that's on my list, actually.
Original 13, you're talking about them targeting Matt Shea and making him out as some kind of terrorist.
And a white supremacist and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
because, you know,
crazy.
They call me a white supremacist, too. So
Matt Shea's a patriot. Matt Shea loves America. Matt Shea loves the Constitution. Matt Shea loves liberty. Matt Shea loves the Lord. And we love Matt Shea. And it's a bunch of hacks creating that whatever, dossier. I mean, look into, yeah. I don't remember if you did a show or a blog or whatever on this or you talked about this.
No, we're going to talk about it. It's on my list.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet, but I wanted to talk about it when you're here.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, maybe you don't.
I do.
That stuff gets my blood pressure.
I do. We need to see your blood pressure.
No, I want to. And then they'll do dossier on me because I want to know their names. I want to know their addresses. I want to know who they are.
I want to dox them.
I mean, we do. doxing is illegal. We do know in general about that organization and some little rinky dink little thing out of somebody's kitchen in Seattle or Portland, or it's just a bunch of liberal hacks, and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. The lefty loons in the legislature there in Washington State, and then hired,
and then the spineless Republicans won't you know, they're the spineless faction of the Republicans won't say anything.
So it's this Antifa-filled, Antifa-backed little commie Marxist organization, mm-hmm, pretending to be private investigators. Come up with this hit piece about Matt Shea, which, by the way, paid for by the tax dollars of Washington State residents.
Yeah, that's a different show, though, because this is Religious Freedom Day, and that's just a little taste of what's going to happen when we talk about Matt Shea on, maybe we'll schedule that show for tomorrow.
Good.
Yep, we'll get that one done tomorrow.
Bunch
so
of
if you want to know, because there's a lot more to this than all of that, you want to understand let me put it this way, JC, why I said from the very beginning, if all of this mess of the dossier and lack of due process and denial of due process can be enforced on the President of the United States, rest assured it's coming at you too.
Yeah, so they took that blueprint.
They took the blueprint.
Some of them are the same people that had, mm-hmm, infiltrated the FBI, mm-hmm, work for this organization in Washington State, mm-hmm, and they use the same blueprint, mm-hmm, which, by the way, is a new news item, the same blueprint where they targeted Carter Page and made him out to be a Russian agent by falsifying, which was, by the way, found in Horowitz's report, admitted to, reported,
right,
that this FBI agent altered a CIA document, mm-hmm, lied, right? Altered it. What did they say? Doctored it, right?
Right.
Altered an official document which said that Carter Page was working with the CIA with these Russian contacts,
right?
The reason he had contacts with these Russian individuals because he was essentially working as an asset for the CIA.
Right.
And the guy basically deleted that, and they said, oh, he has contacts with Russians. He's a Russian agent. Like, no, he's basically an agent for the CIA. That's like sending an FBI agent to investigate,
right,
the mob, and then you erase all the documents that he was working for the FBI, and then you arrest him for being a mobster.
Right.
It's the same freaking thing. And these same people in this so-called private investigative organization creating this claptrap hit piece against Matt Shea. And it's really scary. It's a scary, I know we're already doing the show, but it's a scary thing.
No,
it's a scary thing.
We will do this tomorrow.
When you think about this is like, who was the guy? Hoover? This is like J. Edgar Hoover tactics.
I think,
and now on the state, just what you saw
Herbert
in the FBI.
Hoover,
no, Herbert Hoover was the president.
I always mix them up.
And so it's the same thing. Now you're seeing on the state level. So just what you said before, you allow these things that we see happen in
I
the
call
Russia
it
gate.
Trickle down tyranny.
And so
here
you see
tyranny.
It. Of course, they've used that stuff against the people with these agencies. For a long time.
So you had mentioned today that in probably no coincidence, there was an announcement from the Trump administration, because it's Religious Freedom Day. It's actually a proposed rule regarding equal treatment of faith-based education institutions and provides an updated school prayer guidance.
Yeah.
And
we heard
so,
some of the discussion of this when we were in D.C.
Yeah, we heard some of the discussion when we were in D.C. And so this is a proposed rule. And just like any other proposed rule, it's open for discussion. You can...
Public comment.
Open for public comment. You can produce your public comments.
Like 30 days,
stuff,
right?
Like,
aren't those period...
30 or 60 days.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It's one or the other. But what now I want to be very clear about something, because again, there's some misleading headlines and some misleading discussions going on, even within the conservative realm, right? So this proposed, I just want to say this, this proposed rule change is not a change of the rights of the students to pray in school, okay? Because students have always had the right to pray in the school. They still have the rights to pray in school. And I think it's necessary that we say this, JC, because Donald Trump is not giving these students the right to pray. The federal government is not giving these students the right to pray. And Betsy DeVos is not giving these students the right to pray. What this proposed rule does is simply says, if these students are exercising rights that they already have, we schools that take federal funding, we will hold them accountable if they interfere with those prayers.
Yeah.
So Trump is not giving anybody the right to pray. This rule doesn't give anybody the right to pray. And I have to keep saying that because here's the mentality. If we believe that Trump's rule gives these students the right to pray, when the next president comes in and repeals that rule, then all of a sudden everybody in the stinking universe is going to believe, oh, our students don't have the right to pray anymore. And that's the danger, right? Trump's not giving anybody the right to pray. Betsy DeVos is not giving anybody the right to pray. This rule is not giving anybody the right to pray. The students have always had the right to pray. And you could even go on the federal government's Department of Education website and see that. They've had this codified in their Bill of Rights forever for students. And so what I find encouraging, and maybe you can chime in here as well, is the fact that we finally have an administration that's stepping up and saying, we're not going to tolerate this abuse from schools that take federal funding.
Yeah. No, we've been having this conversation a while. I remember
every single press briefing we've been to at the White House this year, this is something that we've said.
Yeah.
You've got to hold them accountable.
And I've sent communication to our senator, Mr. Rubio, many times on this issue. And he personally probably has never read it, but none of his gatekeepers have ever responded, nor have we seen any action out of his office about this. Since I guess it doesn't involve bombing some country somewhere, Rubio's not interested in dealing with the issue. So yeah. Perhaps if I said, Mr. Rubio, if you could please, you know, enforce or protect our liberties by sending an invasion force full of tanks to the colleges, then he'd get behind that. He'd get to invade and bomb somebody. So he'd like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. So we've been talking about this issue for a while that, you know, if there are going to be funds sent to these schools, then you know, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with what they get away with.
Right, absolutely. And this would go...
I mean, I don't think they should get our tax dollars anyway, but that's another topic.
Right, right. So as long as our tax dollars are being forcefully taken and given to these schools, then they must be held accountable, right?
Yeah.
We should withdraw all funding, federal funding, from them to begin with, but whatever. And so, again, this is Religious Freedom Day. And Jason, I wanted to talk to you because you have... You and I have a particular interest in this. We've done pretty deep study in the issue of the historical application of religious liberty and religious freedom. At Liberty First University, where's this thing? Okay, at Liberty First University, I have several classes that talk about religious liberty. You have a couple classes that talk about religious liberty as well. The history of the fact that our founders didn't make this stuff up, that this is a history that was brought to them, especially to our country. Our documents from over 700 years, and that's through the history of the Constitution in my religious liberty class.
Yeah.
But you...
Well, if you look at... We were having this discussion with somebody the other day when you... Mm-hmm. Even the class that you give about the genealogy of our Constitution, mm-hmm. the DNA, you know, the five liberty charters over a period of 800 years in British legal history that bring us our... founding documents, you know. Mm-hmm. Most people know Magna Carta, and most people haven't heard of 1100 Charter of Liberties, which laid the ground for the Magna Carta, the Grand Remonstrance, the English Bill of Rights,
all
of those.
In English history, 1100 Charter of Liberties was really the beginning of the recognized, codified separation of church and state.
So
Jefferson got this platform.
What I was going to say, in all of those, you know, the history of all those documents actually occurred in the context of the battle for religious liberty, there was always some issue swirling, or was either the catalyst for the revolt, or the, you know, the fight and the expansion of the recognition of liberty and the protections of liberty,
mm-hmm.
Almost always happened in that history in a religious liberty context. And so the whole idea is inseparable from our history. It's inseparable from our founding documents. And a lot of people, you know, we run into people that, particularly, you know, I think we sort of move around in libertarian circles somewhat from time to time. And, you know, you run into many libertarians that just freak out. I don't understand their concept of libertarianism, but they freak out about any conversation about liberty, these sort of atheist libertarians. It's just bizarre to me, because part of religious liberty as a concept in this country is being free to worship, mm-hmm. for sure, but also free not to worship. And just because we talk about that, talk about religion and religious liberty, it's not a stand to coerce anyone into submitting to the Christian religion. This is not, which I know many on the religious right do, but our concept, the American concept of religious liberty, is not Christian Sharia, as you hear from some on the right.
What's more relevant, JC, than what we think is the recognition that those who wrote the Constitution, those who ratified the Constitution, believed exactly the majority of them believed exactly the same way as well.
Right.
We're not here to establish a national religion, and we're not here to force religion on people. I mean, the whole, what history should call
and
the
for
father,
them, that was a Christian perspective.
That was a Christian, that is
which
the,
I agree with.
Right, exactly. The Judeo-Christian
worldview
that. That we'll all stand before God one day, and it's only God that we have to answer to for our faith and for our conscience, and that God, who hung the moon and the stars, doesn't strike us dead when we don't believe what He wants us to believe. So government shouldn't be able to exercise a power that God doesn't exercise on His own.
Right. So in America, like somebody like Josh, his body is his church. Great. Right. That's. We live in America, and so he has absolute freedom to do that, to say there's no God, so there's no God-given rights. Absolute freedom to do that. Now, of course, we can argue natural law from the point of the nature of your being. You weren't created by another man. So you can take that from, you know, the perspective of a person of faith,
mm-hmm.
or if this is Josh's perspective, you still arrive at the same mm-hmm. point, which mm-hmm. was our founder's view, which I agree in my mind, just what they said, is a gospel-centered view, because mm-hmm. they believed that the gospel is not coercive. This was one of the things. This is one of the things that Roger Williams. So I posted today on Instagram, like, two instrumental figures in the development of. Americans' view of religious liberty. One of those people was Roger Williams, which we found out Mr. Kramer is a descendant of Anne Murray mm-hmm. Hutchinson, who was part of that group and part of that fight there, where she had doctrinal differences with the powers that be in the Massachusetts government in New England, mm-hmm. where they had an enforced Christianity. And Roger Williams, fighting with those same people, had the view from the scripture that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? It's the Holy Spirit, from a Christian perspective, is the Holy Spirit working through the presentation of the gospel to bring people to mm-hmm. a saving knowledge of Christ, to have them converted. And so Roger Williams basically articulated, this is not, this relationship between man and his God is not under the power and authority of the state. You cannot create that relationship through the agency of man. That is a relationship between man and God, and mm-hmm. and the state should stay out of it. You can't, you know, if you think, again, from a gospel perspective, you can't make, like, I can't create a Christian.
No.
I can't create
a true
believer.
The Inquisition and the Crusades. You don't create Christians. You create... And actually, where did I just read this?
So, but that was their perspective. That was the
at River University. Religious liberty. I'm right now in at River University in our class Constitution II. We're doing the right to revolution, and Alexander Hamilton has an amazing response to a writer that writes himself as the farmer, and who's actually an archbishop, who is a loyalist to the king, and Hamilton talks about forcing people by the sword of government mm-hmm. to believe. And he says, all you do is create hypocrites. All you do is send people to hell because they can't come to faith on their own. And all you do is torture and oppress. Right. That's what the sword of government does when it tries to create theocracies. And so the man who should be called the father of the First Amendment was a minister by the name of John Leland. And he said, every man must give accountability to God. Therefore, every man has to be free to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. And just like you said, JC, the freedom to worship God according to the dictate of the conscience must include a freedom to not worship God.
Right.
And that's what our founders, and that's what our founders believed. You have here, JC's Instagram page, by the way, is JC Hall Global. And he has a post today about Roger Williams and John Leland. And I think this is a really, really important discussion. And you end where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Because it is the Judeo-Christian worldview that teaches that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. But it's also the Judeo-Christian worldview that teaches, as Leland said, that we have the freedom to believe and not to believe. Because government, the bottom line is this, government's not going to stand before God in your place.
Yeah.
So they can't tell you what to believe and not to believe because they can't hold accountability for that.
Yeah, and I use the term gospel-centered worldview, by the way, you know, just to be specific, because people...
Well, I guess that's the other side of different
understandings of that. When you say, you know, the term you used is sort of a historical... talks about historical origins and development and the path that it took, but it's at the heart of the and it's John Leland at the heart of the concept of American
wrong?
No, somebody was asking John Lee what is John Leland.
Okay, I'll write it up here.
Somebody was asking that, but at the heart of mm-hmm. at the heart of you know that view is the gospel and the understanding that as in the gospel says, whosoever will let him come, that it's not coercive, it's not mm-hmm. it's not Muslim Sharia submit or die, it's not forcing you to believe, and we can also throw in there, it's not the perspective that the popes in the crusade had, that we go in and by the sword make people Christian. That's wrong as well. That's not gospel-centered. That's not founded on the principles of the gospel.
Right.
So, you know, and that's one thing that people outside of Christianity who may have, you know, may take a negative view because they base it on those things done in the name
right.
of the faith.
Right.
But yet they did not line up
yeah,
with the true gospel principles of the faith.
I was on Kate Daly today. We were actually talking about this. Kate Daly Show. She's Kate Daly... radio.com, I think is what it was, Kate Daly. But we were talking about, so all too often, people confuse the works of men with faith, with a particular belief.
Yeah, don't blame God for what man does.
Yeah, right.
In his name.
And they always say, well, what about the Crusades? What about the Catholic priests who molest children? What about all the pastors that do bad things? All you're seeing there is that these are depraved men who lack moral restraint or lack moral center whatsoever. That is not a reflection on God. That is not a reflection on Christ. Yeah. That is not a reflection on its religion. And so, don't, like you said, don't blame God right. for what people do.
And, you know, Roger Williams, one of my favorite, you know, founders, to study in this realm?
Yeah, there's two books that JC recommends. One is Roger Williams and the Creation of the American Soul
by John Barry.
Mm-hmm. And the other is America in Crimson Red by the late James R. Beller.
Yeah. And it goes into the history that most religious history most religious histories leave out.
Mm-hmm.
And just FYI, guys, you're not going to hear an attack on people's faith here.
No, you're not going to hear that.
You know, I'll tell you what I believe, and I'll tell you what I think the gospel is, but I'm not going to start lashing out at other faiths. Now, I will talk about Islamic Sharia, which is from the standpoint that it's incompatible with our republic because of this idea of religious liberty, right? Because religious under Sharia, essentially, you know, you're forced to be a Muslim or you're taxed if you're not, right? So that a particular religious class is the privileged class, and then all others, you know, are subjugated to that. So while I'm not going to tax someone's faith, I that is one issue that which again for me is not about. So if you want to practice
Islam
without that stipulation, fine, because we have religious freedom or freedom of conscience in
it's
this country.
It's the establishment of theocracy that is contrary to liberty.
Correct.
And you can see the will to establish theocracy in many religions. You see the will to establish theocracy even within the Christian religion.
Right.
Some of it intentional, some of it because they don't realize that what they're asking for is theocracy. And theocracies in the hands of men is always tyranny.
So here's a good point, affiliate pro. So this is one of those people who separates this discussion from America. This is part and parcel, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are countries all over the world killing people because of their religion, right?
Right.
Part of the liberty that we have that makes us America. This is unique to this nation.
Right.
If you think this is church, this is not church. We're discussing liberty. This is part and parcel of who America is.
And it's
mind-boggling to me people have, you know, because of their personal, you know, anti-religious view, anti-church, anti-God, anti-Christian, that you cannot even listen to a discussion about something that's an aspect of America. Like for instance,
JC.
I'm not a
sound coming from somewhere.
I'm not a lawyer, right? But there's part of the legal process, and you know these things that are part of the American system.
Yeah.
So it's part of it. So whatever, man. If you need a safe space, you know, go get in your safe space and come back when we're not talking about religious liberty.
Yeah. I'll let you try to figure out what's going on with the submarine here, why we got sound going on in the background all of a sudden that wasn't there before. But I do want to mention that this is part of the problem, JC. What we have is this lack of understanding of the meaning of separation of church and state. It's like I said in the very beginning, the problem here, no, my speaker's off here. The problem here is that we have been training people for so long that separation of church and state means that God has no business in public discussion, mm-hmm. that your faith has no business in public discussion. Thank you, Craig. He says, I'm an atheist and I'm here to stay. Well, that's good because Craig has an idea of what liberty actually is, that we are free to believe and talk about what's going on here in a public forum. We are talking about religious liberty and the fact that in America.
Okay, so maybe I misunderstood affiliate probe. Maybe he was talking about some of the commenters in the thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, so let me address that with those guys. We're not here trying to convert to this or that or whatever you. And of course, you can share your opinion and what have you. But the point here is to recognize that the concept of religious liberty in America was that everybody have their opinion and worship or not worship according to the dictates of their conscience.
Right.
That's the point.
Right.
Right. And so I think why it is a problem, just because, right, because it's such a personal and passionate issue.
It is.
And then people start to try to press, you know, my way or the highway,
right,
kind of approach to it. And that was the whole thing. And of course, then, you know, that leads to literal persecution, physical
right,
hanging, killing,
right,
torturing,
right,
all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's the whole point of why this is part and parcel of our system. And I'm sorry,
Affiliate Pro,
if I misunderstood your comments. But, you know, that's the point, guys. And here's
part
the
of the
thing
problem
about
that we have today is because we refuse to have these conversations. I mentioned the other day, I don't remember if it was here on the air or somewhere else, but we have developed a culture in America where there's sort of like a social faux pas. You're not allowed to talk about religion and politics in public, right? Well, I'm sorry. That's the whole reason why our founders put the First Amendment in
right,
the Bill of Rights, because we're supposed to talk about religion in public. We're supposed to talk about politics in public. And how successful has the social engineering of America been to create society where the two most important things of conscience,
mm-hmm,
right? Because reality, when you can sum up the First Amendment in three words, it's freedom of conscience. So that's religion, speech, press, assembly, grievance. It's all about freedom of conscience. James Madison said conscience was the most essential and most important piece of property that we have. That we have brainwashed and manipulated an entire nation of people who, by the way, live in the most liberty-centered society, at least by its creation,
mm-hmm,
that we are not supposed to talk about religion and politics.
Right. The two things
we have to talk about. This is why government is out of control, because we're not allowed to talk about politics. This is why we have the confusion about separation of church and state, confusion about religious liberty. Do you know how many times, JC, I get, well, Chrisanne, if you think that everybody should have religious liberty, then you must be a supporter of Sharia law, and you must have to, you realize that when you do what you say, we have to let Muslims kill each other. We have to let, you know, honor killings and mutilation of women and all this stuff. And I'm like, no. You only believe that because we've been forbidden socially, right? Why do you have to create a law to outlaw free speech when you've socially made it unacceptable?
Mm-hmm.
So it's socially unacceptable to talk about politics. It's socially unacceptable to talk about religion. And so now we have a majority of the people in America who believe that separation of church and state means you can't talk about religion in politics, you can't talk about in government, your faith can't drive you in your decisions if you're in government, and that you can't talk about politics. Look, this is the result, right? We teach for generations that people cannot bring their faith into their decisions to create law or to pass law or to write law or whatever. So basically what we've been telling people we've elected to office for generations is they have to leave their morality outside when they go in to work for government.
Mm-hmm.
And now should be no question as to why we have such an unhinged, immoral government when we've been teaching them for generations that they can't bring their morality inside.
Right.
Because there's a difference between somebody being morally centered and making their decisions based on morality than somebody writing legislation to force morality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and that's, and obviously there's always that line there. There's always that tension, right? I mean, that's where some of the debate happens, and how far this goes and sort of ferreting out those effects. But that's where, you know, you teach that concept of liberty, where
right.
that basically you have the right to do whatever you want with whatever is yours,
right.
as long as you don't harm another.
Right.
And then people get into what is harm. And then that's mm-hmm. where then the debate happens, and some of these things are stretched.
From a secular perspective, you know, Christians believe that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
From a secular perspective, it's called the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
And if you can, and those, that's the basic foundation of liberty. That's why, once again, if I can have just a second, liberty and freedom are not the same thing.
We get it.
Liberty equals freedom plus morality.
That and you're not talking about theocratic,
no,
state-enforced
no.
system of religion.
No, no, that is not what I'm talking about.
So what do you mean when you mean morality?
What I mean is a shared morality in society that decides that it's, some things are wrong, right? Murder. You don't own, as I don't remember who it was it Josh or somebody said here on our live feed, that you know, I'm not a Christian, but I believe that you can't own another man, right?
Right.
That slavery is bad. Well, no man has the right to own another man, and I think that's something we can all agree. When you murder, you're taking ownership over another person. You're killing that person. So murder is wrong because you don't own another person. Stealing is wrong because you don't own another person. Slavery is wrong because you don't own another person. Taking someone's property is wrong. These are the things that we have as a shared understanding in society, that there are things that are right and wrong.
So it's essentially the morality of liberty.
It is the morality of liberty.
Which
exactly.
Which is at the heart of the gospel, which is what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Somebody said, can an atheist be moral? Absolutely an atheist can be moral. Because look, it's about understanding this is the limit.
Right. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbors as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Liberty knows no bounds other than you cannot harm or control the rights of another. And
right.
that's the foundation upon which our America, that's the foundation upon which our states were created. That's the foundation upon which our union was created. That's the foundation upon which our Constitution was created. The fundamental principle of liberty. That's why, look, John Adams, probably the most theocratically focused person that we had in government, right? Because he was so theocratically minded, I'm going to trigger some people, but I believe that John Adams was the worst president of his day. I just flat out tell you that. He was the worst president of his day. But even he said this, liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it derived from our Maker. But if we had not, our fathers have bought and purchased it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. So even in that context, John Adams recognized that people who maybe not be Christian-centered or gospel-centered, as you said, will understand that there are certain things that are right and wrong.
Right. Yeah. From that question about can atheists be moral, and of course, and I hear this from Christians a lot, and obviously... I lost who said,
well,
said only truth. Obviously, you've heard that as well. If, as I've heard from Christians, an atheist can't be moral, that's almost, I'm going to trigger some Christians, that's almost a heretical statement, because you're actually flipping the gospel, because then you're asserting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the gospel isn't about being good. Okay, that's the distinction. So when you say an atheist can't be moral, right, then that undermines much of Paul's teaching, where
right.
he says, hey, your moral actions, your so-called righteousness, your outward works is not going to get you to heaven. I mean, that's one of the, how Paul was talking. So then if you're saying the opposite, when you, because you're basically asserting that morality is the thing, right?
Right,
that makes
right.
you
morality
a true,
is not what makes
a true
you
believer.
Get you to heaven.
Right,
morality doesn't.
No,
get you to
and
heaven.
From a gospel perspective, I'm not trying
right.
to. I'm not trying to. you know, blast anybody, but so from a bit from the a biblical point of view, from a gospel point of view, mm-hmm. right? Yes, you can be moral. The other side of that that people don't like to hear, and again, this is my faith. Mm-hmm. Ask the question. I'm going to tell you.
Right.
The other part of that is it's not your morality. Christians, biblical Christians believe it's not your morality that gets you to heaven. It's your faith in Christ. It's really more of an allegiance, a bowing to the sovereignty of Christ.
Right.
That's what saving faith is. It's not right. your outward works. So yeah, anybody can perform good works.
Right.
The scripture teaches that, but it says as far as depending on those to be what makes you acceptable to God, mm-hmm. Then the Bible says, you know, your works, your morality is as filthy rags.
Right, because so, the scripture
says that's the gospel perspective. But yes, you can be more. You can be an atheist and be moral. You can be a good person.
But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that those that would believe on Him.
Yeah.
Right, and so that's the distinction between the Christian faith of eternal salvation and the secular understanding of morality.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and that's it. The religion and Thor says religion and politics affects everything, like it or not. And that's what I was thinking. You know, mm-hmm. Religion deals with your destiny, and politics deals with your present reality. I mean, those are the
right.
really the things
yes.
that speak to those two issues. There's right. nothing more important than that from a philosophical perspective. So, you know, yeah, and that's right. And so this is the scripture gives a list of people who lack morals who will not enter heaven. And that's absolutely right. Let me finish this, because this is important, a distinction here when it's talking about, here's this list of these people who lack morals, because that's a list of not necessarily their behavior, like their this particular action, so much as it that characterizes who they are. Because like you said, they're Paul also talks about people who are moral that don't get to heaven. So when you reconcile those two things, so from a gospel perspective, right, what we believe and winged infinity, what was being referred to there. So from a Christian perspective, we believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit through the regeneration by the gospel that now we're able to be truly moral. And plus because now our good acts are done in Christ, as mm-hmm. the Bible says.
And we have a greater power to resist the temptation.
Now we're in church.
Of doing bad things. Yeah, now we're in church,
now
right?
We're in church.
Yeah, now we're in church. But and again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because this is what religious liberty is about. And we have to understand that religious freedom, as Jefferson, I'll pull up this quote again. Jefferson said that all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion. And that's, I want us to be very clear that he was also talking about within the boundaries of liberty.
Yeah.
Right? So we also have this misperception today. What is that? We've talked about this, JC, on the show, this thought that because in the last 10 years, everything was invented, right? So we have this idea that all of a sudden, Islamic extremism is brand new in the world, yeah. right? And we forget about the Barbary Pirates. We forget that Jefferson and his generation dealt with Islam extremists, and they dealt with it. And even John Leland said that we are trying to create an America where all are equally free. He said Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. Mm-hmm. So who are the Turks? They're Islamists, right?
Yeah.
Right? So he's saying, Leland, the father of the First Amendment, is the fact of religious liberty, said, we are trying to create a place where even Islam can be welcome in America. But yeah. remember, within the boundaries of liberty.
Right. And the let me make sure I'm clear on this. That's still see some of the little things. So liars, murderers, etc. shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But it doesn't say, so stop lying so that you can inherit the kingdom of God, right? Mm-hmm. So what if a Muslim stops lying from a Christian perspective, do they go to heaven? So when you talk about, you know, Christians willingly keep the commandments. Correct. So what we're talking about is the unbeliever who acts moral, right? Without Christ, without submitting to Christ, without accepting Christ. We don't believe, Christians, at least in my view,
biblically centered Christians,
Bible Christianity does not believe that, does not teach that. So the gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And then you're empowered after that, by that, to be moral. So you don't say, I'm going to just be moral. I'm not going to do the Christ thing, but I'll be moral and make it to heaven. That's not what the gospel teaches.
Right.
So you have to get it in the right order. And we talk about these verses of, you know, listening to these behaviors and the references to these things. You got to get that in proper order. And what I'm talking about is, you know, just the separate notion of being moral. Mm-hmm. So anybody can be moral, but we're not talking about, there's a difference in gospel morality in that sense. Again, as the Bible said, all of your righteousnesses outside of Christ are as filthy rags. So it's a clear distinction, and that's not trying to disparage, not trying to disparage you, but that's the gospel. That's what I believe. That's what you believe. That's what Christians believe. If you're not a Christian, you're welcome in America, and you're welcome to worship according to dictates of your conscience. And that was really the whole point of these Christian men and women who were the founders. What Madison argued, what Leland argued, what these guys argued, the whole purpose of the religious liberty as they understood it, free to worship, free not to worship, what was in their explanation, so that the gospel could freely work, so that I could walk up to the guy on the street and the gospel could function like it's supposed to. I share, the Holy Spirit works, you get saved, you become a Christian, wonderful. Not the government saying you will be a Christian. If not, you're going to be punished, because that's not Christianity. That's a false Christianity.
Well, I think
so. That's
also
why it doesn't fit. That's why it was their view. That's why it was a gospel.
Well, not only that, they had the history of actually living through that. I mean, when you're talking about the two books that you said about Roger Williams and Pastor Beller's book America in Crimson Red, you're talking about a specific history. You're talking about the people fleeing religious persecution under James the First and Charles the First. You're talking about here on American soil,
yeah,
people, Christians, executing, persecuting, beating, tarring, feathering, and oppressing Christians in the name of denominational differences.
Right
here on this soil. Massachusetts had a law that said if any shipman were to import a Quaker into Massachusetts, the shipman would be thrown into prison and the Quaker would be hung. And so it is the understanding that when government and religion it makes an unholy unity, that men use the coercion of the conscience with the force of government. Yeah. And that's what's wrong. And I know that if you are using coercion in government, if you're using force, then you are not following the gospel according to Jesus Christ. So you have no business calling yourself a Christian if you're hanging other people because they don't believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this history that we don't teach because we're not allowed to talk about religion and politics. And in this history, we're dealing with both religion and politics at the same time because we had a politics that was religion that were executing people. And so we can't teach this religion. So then we get into the discussion all over again because we don't know where theocracy ends anymore. We don't understand what it looks like when government takes over religion, right? And then you have people like when we had the presidential election where Jeb Bush ran for president. And he stood up there and said, well, you know, because we were having trouble with the refugees. And how do we determine which are real refugees and which ones are terrorists? And Jeb Bush said, what I would do is establish a test to determine if the refugees are Christian or not.
Right.
That's all we need is government developing a test to determine whether people are Christians or not. You know, it like stabbed me in the heart when I heard him say that because I know this history. I remember you chuckled because you said, wow, I wish I'd have had that test when I was a pastor, right? Because then I could have determined who in my congregation was a Christian or not. Right. But you then, you understand that when the government creates a test, then it has to have people that punish people for failing that test. And there's, who's going to write the test, right? Your pastor? No, some bureaucrat. Which form of Christianity is going to be the standard? Not only that, you have lots of people that I love and I respect and what have you say that we need to outlaw Islam in America. No. So now we don't understand that when the government can create a law to outlaw a religion or an ideology,
yep.
When the administration changes and you have a Muslim president who has the authority to outlaw religion or an ideology, then who's going to be on the chopping block? That's why separation of church and state means that government can never have that power, no matter how attractive that may be to a majority or to a few.
Yeah. What about outlawing Sharia?
Sharia is already outlawed. It is against the law to murder in America.
Right.
It is against the law to abuse people in America. You can't mutilate your child in America and get away with that. Not only that, JC, religion has never been an excuse to circumvent these fundamental laws. We don't allow sacrificial worship of a god through the sacrificing of babies in America. My goodness, and we don't even allow through the war on drugs for some religious people to take certain drugs according to their religion. So you can't tell me that we have to allow Sharia because it's a part of somebody's religion. No, we don't. We have to enforce the laws that are on the books. Well, I mean, that's part of the history of America that's a problem too. Why do we have regulatory agencies? Because we refuse to enforce the laws on the corporate fat cats, right? So we won't prosecute the corporate fat cats for letting their people die in their factories due to their negligence. So we have to create regulations to sort of fine them when they should be criminally prosecuted. But that's a whole nother story.
All right. Well, happy Religious Freedom Day.
Happy Religious Freedom Day.
Good discussion.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so. And I just want to put on the record here, we talked a lot about eternal salvation. We talked a lot about our faith in Christ. And I just want to be clear, if any of these things are ever something that you want to discuss with me or with JC, if you want to know more about the plan that God has for you in your life, whether you're a believer or not, if you want to know more about how you can be sure of where you go when you die, then please, please, please feel free to reach out to us. JC and I would be happy. And am I speaking out of turn for you, JC? We would be
no,
happy.
No, I love to have these discussions. I
mean, we would be happy to do that.
Some of my favorite discussions. I don't argue about religion, but I love talking with people who are interested,
yes,
and have questions or have different opinions. It's like one of our listeners who we appreciate. I don't believe I'll go to heaven. I believe I'll be something else. You know, I love discussions like that.
Right.
I mean, because
right.
From my perspective, I think there are answers.
Yes.
I don't agree with that, and I think there's answer to
absolutely.
That topic. And I don't, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if somebody says that, it's a lot of people, somebody says that, then it makes them angry and they'll like attack that person. You don't believe you'll go to heaven. And it just, it's so counterproductive. It's crazy to me especially from a Christian point of view, you want people to come to the faith, and then you're going to treat people so obnoxiously when they have a differing view. It's crazy. It's just a crazy kind of approach. So I don't. That kind of thing's distasteful for me. We'll stand up and boldly call out sin and that sort of thing. But
faith is faith, right?
People who really want to know truth, then I.
And truth is faith is faith, and truth is truth. And I believe that there's a point where they intersect.
Yep.
And you can be settled in your faith. And if you don't, if you're not settled in your faith, and you can't defend your faith, then maybe you need to be settled in that.
Or your lack of faith.
Right?
You're scared of questions, discussions, and challenges. Right. Then maybe your opinions aren't as strong as you think they are. It's like I guess we ought to close pretty quick. You guys should check this out if you haven't seen it. What's the guy's name? Ricky Gervais, when he did the Golden Globes.
Oh yes, yes. Yes.
And the
we'll talk about that
man,
tomorrow.
The political humor and then the left freaks out. It's like, okay, if you're so right. correct and so settled on your opinions, why the freak out? Why the hurt feelings? Why are you so afraid mm-hmm. at someone discussing these
Yeah, things? Because the guy that did the article in the Daily Caller said, look, the
Great
fact
article.
That you're freaking out
Great article.
Because a liberal roasted you
Yeah.
for making political speeches, maybe that's an indication that you are not as firm in your
yeah.
belief. He called it an insecurity. You're insecure in who you are and what you believe.
If you haven't seen it, Google Golden Globes and check out some of the jokes from Ricky Gervais, I think is how you say his name, just how he's roasting these lefty political activists. It was hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Josh, for hitting the like button. And I do want to remind you, everybody, that we'll have several hundred people watching us right now. And so we want to remind you, hit that like button. And if you don't hit the like button for any other reason, hit it because it makes YouTube mad that you like our videos.
And you can
share our videos because it makes YouTube mad yeah. that you like our videos and share our videos. And it messes with their algorithms because they're constantly trying to bury us. And if you like us and you share us, then you blow their censorship out of the water.
Yeah. And so if you have any questions or comments regarding religion, you just want to share, you know, your thoughts or whatever, go on the site and drop a line, drop an email.
Yeah, let me.
I'll be happy to read it. So
here,
just go to chrisanhall.com and
I'll put it up here on the
drop
on
us
the,
a line.
In the chat room, so you can see it. chrisanhall.com. JC gets all the emails from there, and
all right.
I know he would love to talk to you.
Yep,
guys.
Love to read them.
God bless you guys. Thank you, and we will see you next time.